The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Good Friday. We're live at Pac-12 Football Media Day here in downtown Los Angeles. The commissioner of the Pac-12, George Kolovkoff, is going to come by here in about 10 minutes, about 10:20. We will visit with him, and then Wilner's going to come on in. John Wilner will join us live at 10:35 following a very eventful morning, very eventful opening comments by the commissioner to a packed room of media here in Los Angeles. And I'm looking forward to visiting with the commissioner. Jordan Hamm is going to swing by here in a minute. He has been doing all sorts of media here today, too. And Chris Peterson is with us as well. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. They do great work with random acts of kindness as well. So the theme here today has been a little bit, and I've been saying this, we have to get back to talking about football on the field at some point. Today is not the day because Commissioner Kolovkoff, and I'm going to talk to him about it, dropped some bombs. I'm looking forward to Wilner. We're in there together this morning, and the commissioner's like, yeah, I'm tired of grenades being lobbed by the Big 12 towards us. None of it is true. I just wrote down some of his lines today. You know, his opening line was, my message is a state of optimism. And, of course, there are people that are like, well, why? You just lost USC and UCLA. But it's very clear after his message today, this is the first time that he has spoke since the conference lost USC and UCLA. And the message was very clear. We care more about all sports rather than just one sport. We care about 36 sports. We're not going to put student athletes in places where it's going to make it very hard for them to go be students and athletes. So the soccer kid that nobody really cares about outside of mom and dad in that soccer program, or the swimmer, or figure out which sport it may be that is being told from the Pac-12, from USC, I should say, from USC and UCLA, you're going to fly to Purdue, you're going to fly to Rutgers, you're going to play late at night, we're just going to go make money off of you. That was the underlying theme today here. Very simple. That was the underlying theme today. The commissioner said that the remaining 10 schools are all together. Don't believe anything that you see on social. Don't believe any of the rumors that are out there. I'll talk with John Wilner about that coming up in a few minutes as well. He said we are very confident in the long-term view of our media rights. That was a big talking point today. So I've been doing the business side of sports, and I truly believe that this will come down to whichever big streaming company, whichever big digital company comes along, whether it is Apple Plus or Amazon, that ultimately they feel like puts them in a great position. The Big Ten is going to announce their media deal. Then the Pac-12 is going to sit there and say, okay, that's something that's really interesting for you fans on this, because some of this may be like, Brad, I just want to talk about on the field what's going to happen to my Sun Devils or my Wildcats or whatever school it may be within the conference. One of the things that the commissioner, I'm going to talk to him about it, is he said, we are going to play games in Southern California. And like, oh, you already are with USC and UCLA, but after USC and UCLA leave, they're going to have games here. So let's just go down this rabbit hole a little bit. Arizona State, rather than traveling to Pullman, where the cost of travel to Pullman is a lot, and you're playing late at night, and are you really helping your recruiting base in Southern California? Because it's not like every player is going to USC or UCLA. They're already leaving. So very clear today that the commissioner is looking at this saying, well, we'll just bring the ASU-Washington State game by example and we'll play it here in Southern California. And he doubled down on that. He was really straightforward about it. And so would you say, I just want to go to Sun Devil Stadium to watch my Sun Devils play the Cougs versus, you know what, we're going to go play at Crypto Arena or the new Snapdragon facility in San Diego, and we'll make a weekend out of it, and we will turn this around and still stay relevant and active while USC is playing Purdue out in East Lafayette. We're going to go to Southern California, and we will play our games there, and we'll recruit there. So, you know, I think that's really interesting on that front that the commissioner went down that space. You know, he said repeatedly, I remain confident in the Pac-12, and I have to ask him, Why is it you do remain confident in the Pac-12? What is it that you look at that you say, okay, you are still part of the Pac-12 conference. Why should we still be confident in that part with USC and UCLA leaving? So there were a number of things that I felt like the commissioner just left open, but was very straightforward off the top. And we'll talk with him about that. Jordan Hamm is jumping in here. He just finished it. Who'd you just talk to?
We were talking to Tanner McKee, Stanford quarterback.
Yeah.
Went on an LDS mission.
Yeah.
So talked to him a lot about that.
Gotcha. There you go.
And as you can tell, a lot going on here in the room. So a lot of noise going on. But yeah, it's been a great morning covering a lot of bases, talking to Kalen DeBoer about all the Arizona guys on Washington, talking to Jed Fish and Christian Young, and ASU's going to roll through here in a little bit. So it's been a good morning.
Well, I saw Chris Peterson grab a couple of the ASU guys and screw around with them, doing his thing.
Yes, so. Started the day off with swag bags, and Kyle Soley and Ladarius Henderson were very interested in what they.
Do I have my swag bag here? Wait, I think it's
around here
is
somewhere.
Is it buried over here? Hang on a second.
Perhaps the best part was when Ladarius noticed that there was a journal inside, so he started to pretend to pen. We beat U of A for the 18th straight time. So even on media day, it's slightly unfriendly. But.
So here's our swag bag. This is what they give us when we walk in here. I don't think it's going to fall apart.
It looks nice. Mighty sturdy.
So I have not gone through this. So let's just do this on the air.
All right.
Okay, so we have
protein.
We have some nice jerky.
Hot and spicy beef jerky.
Beef jerky. This is one of their partners, I'm sure, from Old Trapper. So we get some
good
jerky.
Stuff.
We have a cell phone mount holder. I got one of these for Christmas. I can't even hold it. I got one of these for Christmas.
Mount for the mount.
That's it. I got one of these for Christmas. Doesn't work.
Well, hopefully this one does.
Yeah. So it's on your car. We have a notepad.
Said journal.
Said journal. We get these every year.
Where Ladarius said.
How many of these do we have? We've been doing a lot of those. We have.
A lot that I write like 3 pages in and then forget about. This was something Chris was really excited about.
Yeah.
This, what's the brand?
Surge. Not Spurge.
Surge. And I believe it will light up if you are behind on your hydration.
Get out.
Yeah. So,
get out. So, like, this thing will, like, yell at you by saying it's in the red or something.
Yeah. Like, it's 112 out. You should have more than one sip of water.
Or whatever you put
in
there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what else we have here.
Yeah, whatever you're putting in.
Full season schedule. Yeah.
There we go.
You know, I could make a joke off this with ASU and U of A this year.
It's been a nice morning. We don't need to.
Let's be nice. And we have sunglasses. We get sunglasses every year. We got some Chick-fil-A.
Looks pretty sustainable sunglasses.
Chick-fil-A gift card.
That was another one Ladarius was very excited about. I think he was going to pocket Kyle's.
And a pin. Did you see downstairs? This is for the LA Bowl. Did you see, I don't know if you've been downstairs yet. So here at Media Day, they have I thought it were they were candy dishes, like Skittles. No, they're pins from every bowl game.
Did I see?
Oh, you
jacked
them?
I don't
know,
I grabbed a couple.
You jacked
them. This one's the Gasparilla Bowl.
Who wouldn't want to go to the Gasparilla Bowl?
This one's the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl.
Yeah, that's nice.
But yeah, they had, and it looked like it was like Lifesavers or something.
Yeah.
Like. Oh, yeah, grab a Tic Tac ahead of time.
Right, we've been drinking coffee, we're breathing on coaches. You know, it's Tic Tac. No, it's pins.
Brett McMurphy said the exact same thing you did, where he goes, oh, I thought it was food. I went up and,
So.
Tchotchkes.
Did Jed Fish, I know you just talked with him, did he say anything interesting, or is it the usual?
It was interesting in that I kind of approached it as, I'm assuming it's a quarterback battle, even though Jaden DeLora has transferred in. And
right.
He, you know, usually coaches like to keep that under the vest. He said Jaden's the guy. And that
so why isn't he here today?
That is a good question.
I would like to talk to quarterback. No offense to all the other positions, but if you're U of A, don't you roll out your quarterback and say, this is our guy?
I think it was from the, maybe not he is our starter, but like he's the one that's going to open with team one reps.
Yeah.
And we have Noah Fafita backing him up and Jordan McLeod, and we'll see what happens.
That's good. Gunnar Cruz's thumb's getting better.
Yep. Will Plummer is in the mix as well. I mean, they had 4 quarterbacks throw at least 3 touchdowns last year, and that speaks to, great, they had great depth, but also all of them kept getting hurt, and one of them was Jamari Joyner, and he was a wide receiver. So they need, if they can get consistent quarterback play, we might see a step for them that could be really good. Tough non-con, but I think that they could do some stuff if they have a healthy quarterback.
So you have Arizona State that opens with NAU. You have U of A that opens at San Diego State. Then you have ASU at Oklahoma State. And you have U of A with Mississippi State, which I think is kind of an underrated game late at night. The game's going to be in Tucson.
That's going to be a fun game.
I think that'll be a fun game. And then you have U of A against North Dakota State.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember who ASU has after Oklahoma State. I just looked at the first two, but it doesn't matter. Who else are we going to talk to today?
Eastern Michigan.
Oh, that's right. Directional game.
Yeah, we're going to get, I think, heavy ASU guys this afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. Trying to think. Dan Lanning's going to come through from Oregon. They've recruited Arizona well. So trying to get caught up on some of the local guys. And it was fun catching up with DeBoer because some of the guys that committed to him in the last class, he didn't really recruit. So we had to go get to know Lance Holtzclaw and Parker Brailsford. And he said they're already hitting the ground running, and it's been really good.
Well, Jordan's just killing it on the college front. Your segment on the TV show you have now, why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so doing it's a segment called Walking On. So it can be ASU-centric, U of A-centric. Guys that played in high school that are now killing it at the college level would love to get, like, Bijan Robinson on at some point, or any of these players that are playing at a high level in college. But it's been fun kind of looking at that level and kind of trying to beef up the coverage a little bit.
Yeah, ACU, Ottawa,
yeah,
NAU.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, NAU's got some great stuff. We were talking the other day about getting up to NAU and checking things out. So
they didn't give us this in the swag bag. It's pretty nice.
It fits in
the
swag
this
bag.
This is the old logo, though, isn't
you
it?
Could, I think it is.
Yeah, this is the old logo. And, you know, this is going to be something at a swap meet in Apache Junction someday. And then there's this one.
As long as we don't take it from our booth, I'm sure it can't get traced back to us.
Yeah, that's it.
It fits in the tote bag.
That's right. Along with the Chick-fil-A gift card.
Yeah.
All right. Commissioner's coming by, so we're going to step aside here. Jordan Hamm there. Make sure you follow him over on Twitter. And Chris Peterson, too. You can follow him at Cheap Seats TV. John Willer will join us in about 15 minutes. Up next, the Commissioner George Kolavkoff from Pac-12 Football Media Days. I'm Brad Sussman. All right, Commissioner, you had a very optimistic, very straightforward speech today. Fans are saying in Arizona, in all likelihood, why? I'm not wondering why. I think you make a very compelling case. But for the fans, why?
It doesn't come from me. It comes from our 10 presidents and chancellors and our 10 athletic directors. All of them are committed to staying together. They said their top priority is to keep the Pac-12 together, to invest in the Pac-12, and to grow the Pac-12.
When you look at all of the grenades, I'll use that term, that you used today, grenades being lobbed by the Big 12 towards the conference, can you address that for the fans?
Well, if you've been reading the press the last 4 weeks, ASU and everyone else has been meeting with the Big 12. None of those meetings occurred. It's all nonsense. It's kerfuffle. And at some point, you just have to say, you know, that's not true, and we're not going to allow you to keep saying that.
So the idea of ASU could split from Arizona and all of that fans have been calling me about, writing about, can you put that to rest, please?
There are no Pac-12 schools that are going to the Big 12.
Could there be Big 12 schools coming to the Pac-12?
We haven't gotten into which schools we're going to invite to join the conference yet. That'll be later in the process. We're focused on our media rights first.
What is fact versus fiction right now, George, when it comes to the conference?
Well, I remember when I went to journalism school, you used to have two sources, and you used to have to confirm something,
right.
And you didn't pick up something from a Twitter account that was a burner account and publish it as if it was true. That's changed, apparently. But that's all right. We'll get through it. You know, it builds character.
The idea of the other sports outside of football, you're very straightforward about that today, that loss in all this has become the student athlete.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big issues we're facing. We're really at a point where we're going to end up going down one of two roads. Either we're going to be playing professional football, and in the conferences where that happens, I think there's tens of thousands of scholarships that are lost because I think a whole bunch of the other sports go away. That's not the future that the Pac-12 wants. The future wants our kids to be properly compensated, have an educational opportunity, but they do not want to do it at the expense of all of the other sports.
NIL, where does that stand in your mind today?
It's not being enforced. And as a result, we have the Wild West, and we've got a disparate set of rules, and no one's enforcing the rules. And I understand why the NCAA is not enforcing the rules. They're worried about antitrust as a result of the Alston case from the Supreme Court. That's why today on the podium I called for a smaller group of conferences, the 10 FBS conferences, to kind of self-regulate NIL. We all believe kids should be earning money for their NIL. We just don't want it to be used by boosters as a way to induce a student to go to a different school.
How do you put it back in the box, George?
Well, I think you agree to three very simple rules: no inducement, no pay for play, and the amount that gets paid to the kid has to be commensurate with the work done so that you're not backdooring inducement or pay for play. Once you agree to those rules, you have an independent group that enforces those rules, and the penalties have to be stiff, and all of the conferences have to agree to the penalties.
You spoke about playing football games potentially in Southern California, which brought a few eyebrows raised and gasps. Go deeper into that if you could.
Well, I mean, the idea that UCLA and USC own Los Angeles is crazy to me. Like, we have been in Southern California for a century. We don't intend to get out of Southern California.
Could you play games of schools at a neutral site in Southern California?
Of course.
And that is on the table.
Everything's on the table.
Everything's on the table. That's a good answer. Anything else about today that strikes you, that you look at it and say, look, fans in Arizona, this is what you need to know about where things are right now?
Well, I'll tell your fans in Arizona what I've been telling my staff for the last 4 weeks is, don't believe anything you read. Sit back, relax, we're doing the work. You'll be pleased by the outcome.
Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Great to see you. Thank you.
Back here, Pac-12 Football Media Day, joined live by Doug Haller with The Athletic, who was downstairs. We just heard from the commissioner with me a short time ago. What was your big takeaway from downstairs? You got to eat this thing a little bit, too. There you go.
Big, feisty.
Yeah, it was, wasn't
it? I thought he was very feisty. Took multiple jabs at the Big 12. You know, his comment about we'll decide whether or not we're shopping in regard to possibly, you know, Big 12 expanding and what the Pac-12 is going to do or if the Pac-12 is worried, I thought was very telling. But, you know, I mean, to me, it just kind of didn't change the overall narrative is that the Pac-12 doesn't have a whole lot of attractive options, Brad. You know, as far as whether they stay put, they stay strong, whether they look elsewhere. The main thing that came across to me is that, you know, we're going to try to stick this out. I thought it was interesting that when he did mention the criteria that they were looking for, you know, academic and cultural fit was mentioned. He did place that third, but, you know, I think that's going to be a big hangup. When or a big obstacle maybe when the Pac-12 goes and looks for potential teams to bring into the conference.
Well, I was sitting there at the very beginning where he said we're bullish. What's he gonna say? Right? So there was that, but then it became very much a we are not gonna put student athletes on planes and send them cross country. There was this underlying of you can go play Rutgers and you can go play Purdue as USC and UCLA are gonna do. That's not going to happen in our conference. And I felt kind of like there was this is why we're better than everybody else type of deal.
Yeah, well, he opened it up saying that he felt like college athletics in general has kind of lost track of the welfare of the student athlete, which
is true.
It, without question,
it's true.
It's without question. I mean, yeah. I mean, they try to play it off like we're trying to do what's best and you know for student athlete welfare, and not a chance, not a chance. But when he said that, I thought, well, that kind of, it doesn't look like the ACC, any sort of merger with the ACC or an alliance or partnership, however you want to term it. That doesn't sound like that's going to work.
No, North Carolina is not going to fly cross country to play at Arizona State.
No, I mean, so it gets back to me, like, what options do they have? It doesn't sound like any of the Pac-12 schools are really, you know, strongly adamant about, you know, joining the Pac or the Big 12. We've talked about that before. So to me, it just looks like, you know, we're going to stay put, we're going to try to expand, and we're going to try to ride that out, which, fine, but it comes with risks because UCLA and USC have already bolted. No one knew about it.
Right, which is shocking.
What lesson did you learn from that?
Yeah, I felt like there was a little bit of, we still trust everybody in the room, which is a naive way to go about this. Did that comment strike you?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, you just lost your two anchor programs, your two anchor universities, for that very reason. We're thinking that everyone's going to think collectively about what's best for the conference and not for themselves. It's already been proven, but they're not going to do that. I mean, sooner or later,
even if the Big Ten is not interested in Oregon, Washington, someone will be.
Yeah.
I mean, they're two attractive brands. They're two good schools. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, the Pac-12 is at a disadvantage with the money that they pay out in their conference, and schools can upgrade and have a better chance to compete in different conferences. So, you know, I'll be really interested to see. I think it's dangerous for all the schools to kind of think that everyone's thinking together and we're all going to, you know, pull in the same
locked
direction
arms
on this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Doug Haller with The Athletic with us for a couple of minutes live here at Pac-12 Football Media Day as we chop it up over the Commissioner's State of the Union. What did you make out of the "we'll play games in Southern California" comment?
Interesting. I don't know if that's going to move the needle as much recruiting-wise. As you know, you could always sell to recruits and their families, like, "Hey, look, you know, we're going to be playing SC or UCLA at least once a year." It sounds like, you know, there are some attractive options that you could play neutral site games there.
Right.
There,
Arizona State plays Washington State at Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego.
But that's a great option to have. But the thing I took about it, took from it immediately, my first thought, Brad, was they must not be real serious about San Diego State. He did say LA, but I mean, I just kind of took that as the Southern California market. It seems like to me that they're maybe already thinking about, like, okay, how do we stay in this market without maybe adding San Diego State? I could be misreading that, but that was the first thought I had.
So let's just go through what is fact about the Arizona State and Arizona games. In September, it's really hot. They're played late at night. They're delayed by monsoons or lightning. So if Arizona plays Mississippi State, which they're going to do this year, and it's a neutral site game in Southern California in September, and we could play it from their point of view, when I say we, at 1 p.m, we get a better TV window. We have more options. Makes sense, I think. But I also took it as a shot at USC and UCLA again, because, well, they can't keep their guys here anyways, so we don't have the borders around Southern California anyhow. That's how I took that.
Did you notice that whenever he mentioned UCLA and USC, he always referred to, "we support the student athletes"?
Yes.
And not the universities, not anything
yes.
to do with that. It's like,
yes.
"we still support the student athletes." You could tell me he's not real happy with that situation, obviously, but... Yeah, I mean, there are some intriguing possibilities. They're going to have to get creative. They have no choice.
Right.
You know, even those creative possibilities, you know, they're going to be attractive. They're going to be splashy in the moment. How much long-term appeal? I don't know.
Yeah. Anything else strike you about today so far? The swag bag was a little light. I got a Chick-fil-A gift card. We went through it earlier. You gone through your swag bag?
I have not.
Did you take a swag bag?
I did. I took it. They yeah. handed it to you. I took it. I did yeah. notice it was a little light.
Yeah.
The setup is kind of odd. It's just a strange thing.
Jordy said it's like a Howard Stern set. You know?
I agree with that. It's just a strange thing. It's spread out. We're in Los Angeles where yeah. the conference is kind of like in limbo. I mean, it's just a strange time to cover this conference. And, of course, you know, there are rumors flying around every day about what's going to happen next. And, you know, to me, it just keeps circling back.
What's the rumor
to,
you believe most?
To me, it just keeps circling back to that they're going to ride this out, and that they're really concerned about academic and culture fit, so that eliminates some of the football schools that everyone's kind of jumped on right from the get-go. How soon they do that, how soon they expand, I don't know. But I think that's what they're trying to do.
See, I think, and I'll let you go off this, I just think that if I took it as you took it, that, okay, you're a football school, that's what you want to do. So a school like SMU, who's sitting there in Dallas, not a football school, but is it a better academic fit? But you put them alongside the people that run SMU versus the people that run Cal. Not really aligned on the same, you know.
No.
So how does that exactly?
Yeah,
Texas Christian's front office and Cal, not really on the same line, you know?
I mean, that's what we get back to. It's like, there are no obvious, you know, like, okay, we're going to go do this.
Yeah.
I thought the Big 12 last year, when they were in the same situation, losing Oklahoma and Texas, did a decent job kind of stabilizing itself with UCF, Cincinnati, Houston, and what was the fourth school? I'm forgetting it. Cincinnati, Houston. Well, there was another school there. BYU. So they did a decent job of stabilizing itself. I just don't think there are options right now. that the Pac-12 can, like, make a move like that. I could be wrong. SMU, I mean, if we're talking about SMU being one of the most attractive options.
Well, I think TCU and Baylor are more attractive, but those are football. I mean, Baylor is a very attractive option to me, but you just don't go down to play one game in Baylor. If we're going through the whole travel cost thing in the TV market, SMU is Dallas. It's a minor program compared to TCU. But again, cultural fit. Some of the things he said today, like we have 36 other athletic programs, right? I don't think they care that much about the softball team at some of these schools or the wrestling program. And the people watching right now, all they care about is football, you know?
Culture fit is really interesting to me. Academic, you can look at rankings and figure out, you know, maybe what they're thinking. What does culture fit mean? Do you get into the political element of it?
Yes.
you know, and I mean, I think everyone kind of knows where most of the Pac-12 universities stand politically. We're talking about Cal. I mean, it's just a weird situation. And again,
Cal and BYU in the same conference. Cultural fit? I keep picking on Cal, but, you know.
Because no one knows what to do with Cal.
No one knows what to do with Cal.
No one knows what to do. Right. When you're talking about expansion, you hear Stanford come up possibly to the Big Ten. You hear about the Four Corner schools going to the Big 12. When you bring up Cal, it was like shrugs their shoulders and not real sure what to do.
Herm talks later today, right?
He does talk later today.
What's he going to say?
Yep.
We're excited for the season. We love our quarterback. We love the conference.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. And usually at this event, by this time, I've run into Herm a couple of times already. I haven't seen him.
I saw him walk by once.
Okay.
That's it.
Ray Anderson, I've been told, is not here.
Don't see Ray at all.
And I can't remember a time, Brad, where Ray Anderson has not been at this event.
Why wouldn't you be at this event? What do you make out of that? All right. You and I can sit here and talk forever. I would say Kyler Murray response, but because Doug's doing things not just college anymore. He's doing everything and he's doing it all. So I will ask you, Kyler Murray, since I've got a minute.
Most bizarre situation I've ever seen.
Really? Seriously.
Well, I mean, just as far as contract stuff goes, I mean, you would think that the Cardinals could have found another way to get that point across by embarrassing the franchise quarterback. I mean, the face of the franchise. You know, and Kyler was very I wasn't there yesterday. I was traveling, but I've seen the video from him in his press conference. Very defensive and kind of blamed the media for a lot of it. Seemed to, anyway.
Yeah, I know.
But
you can't do it.
He agreed to it.
It's not our fault. We weren't in there saying, hey, yeah, that verbiage looks great.
The bottom line doesn't change. There's obviously something the Cardinals feel like that Kyler needs to be more, you know, all in on. And if it's prep, obviously they felt like they needed to put that in there. Give them credit, I guess, for taking it out. But, I mean, the damage is done. Yeah, I mean, I think both all parties should be embarrassed.
I think we're going to have much more to talk about on this myself. I'll let you go. See you, man.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks for coming by. It was Doug Haller over at The Athletic. Just bumping in for a few minutes. Appreciate his coming by here. So let me just check here. I'm getting the bubbles. Let's see. Getting the bubbles from Wilner. Emergency situation with deadline and connectivity issues. I will get there when I can. Sorry. I'll get there when I can. Just live. Stuff happens. So we'll be back here on the stream with Wilner, and I'll put it out on social. And you can go check out some of the content over on the website at sports360az.com. Sports360az.com. Herm's going to come by. Jed Fish is going to come by. Players are going to come by from both ASU and U of A. But we'll have much more on the stream and online on the website. Take a break here. All right, Wilner Hotline. John Wilner coming through. Connectivity issues, column published aside here live at Pac-12 Football Media Day. It is good to see you.
Good to see you too.
What did you make out of the commissioner? He joined me a little bit earlier, a little follow-up stuff. What did you make out of him on the stage? I thought he was a little uneven to start. I thought he found his bearings and balance and then was feisty. What about you?
Well, I thought that it was... You know, it was created in a way that he could be diplomatic at first in his prepared remarks, but then pull the gloves off when he got to the Q&A session. And that's what he did, right? He came out firing when he was asked about the Big 12. He was pretty candid when he talked about UCLA's situation, you know, which I think what a lot of people expected, given the beating the conference has taken publicly over the last month.
Did he come off strong to you?
Strong in a way that Pac-12 fans and Pac-12 schools wanted to hear, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they needed to see some leadership and you know, some an attempt to portray the conference as being unified, which I think it feels like it is behind the scenes, but that's not the public narrative. The public narrative right. is, oh, you know, the Arizona schools are ready to jump at any moment. Stanford and Oregon and Washington are waiting for the Big Ten to call any day. And behind the scenes, I think it's a little bit different. Things are moving slower in reality. And I think that there's probably more of a commitment than people think. Not that that commitment is unbreakable, but I think at this point it's stronger than people think. And I feel like the schools wanted him to portray that.
Mm-hmm. What did he say today that you tilted your head and said, I'm not buying that?
I'm not buying that. I was very curious about the UCLA, what he said about UCLA, and he portrayed it as being a little bit fragile. And I've kind of heard that, but...
Fragile meaning?
That they are getting a lot of pushback by their constituents about this Big Ten move. And he left the door open. You know, he said it's unlikely that they're going to leave or that they're going to come back. But that was stronger than I would have expected him to say. Frankly, mm-hmm. I didn't expect him to get into the details of UCLA's situation at all. Mm-hmm. And he talked about faculty resistance, student-athlete resistance. And that was, I thought that was an eye-opener.
The Big 12 grenades being lobbed comment today.
Yeah.
What did you make out of that, John?
Well, I mean, I figured he was going to have something to say about what the Big 12 has been doing, right? The Big 12 has been not only making public comments from the new commissioner, but also leaking a lot of stuff designed to, you know, portray the Pac-12 as being ready to fall apart, ready to break apart. And I'm not sure, again, I'm not sure that that's really the case behind the scenes at this point in the process. And so he's had to wait 10 days since Brett Yormark made his comments. So he finally got a chance to be on the stage. The Pac-12 was the last conference to have its media day. And so he basically unloaded about all the stuff that we've been hearing about his conference for the last month.
Do you think he moved the needle today?
With the public narrative? I do think he did. Yes. I mean, absolutely. At least he got it back to zero, right? Mm-hmm. From being underwater in terms of, if you're like, what are the optics, the optic level for the Pac-12? To this point, it's been below zero.
Mm-hmm.
He was never going to get it all the way to a 10, given the situation. But at least he got it back to stable, I think.
Mm-hmm. The comment about playing games in Southern California and how that might look. I was talking to you off camera about it. Do you see that as a way that is interesting, intriguing, or really smart business sense, somewhere in between?
What'd you make out of that? No, I think it's both. And I think that they can use, you know, there's a push to get neutral site games to Vegas, a new stadium. And there's also a new stadium in L.A. They could line up neutral site games, non-conference, at SoFi Stadium. They could potentially move home games, if the schools are willing, move home games to L.A. The other piece of that is, how much of it is a reference to San Diego State being in the conference eventually, right? I think San Diego State is their number one expansion target. They have to be the number one expansion target. And so he could just be indicating that, look, San Diego State's going to be in the Pac-12 at some point.
Okay, could you see a time where Arizona State is scheduled to play Eastern Michigan in the third week of the season on a Saturday night in front of family and friends? Instead, they're going to move that game. Or do we get to a point where they're never going to play Eastern Michigan again because the commissioner did allude to, we got to play top flight competition, but move that type of game, or U of A against Mississippi State out here? Is that what we're looking at?
It could be, right? I mean, the schools would have to give up, somehow be compensated for the lost revenue from ticket sales and concessions and parking and all that kind of thing. If they can make it work financially, it's possible. I mean, you know, you get 30,000 people in Sun Devil Stadium versus 25 at SoFi, 20 at SoFi, you know, it might be worth doing that because of the benefits you get from having a presence in the LA market.
And the recruiting side of it would be the driving thing.
That'd be huge.
What I took today, too, from his address was, we are very collegial here. We have 36 athletic programs we're looking after. We're not just looking at football. The underhanded swipe at, we're not going to put student athletes on planes cross country. That, to me, was very calculated, talking point today. What did you make out of that?
Yeah, I think he's right. And that tells you that they're going to be very wary of that if they expand, right? He said we're actively looking at expansion. And that indicates to me that, like, they're probably not going to be going to try to poach, you know, somebody in the Eastern time zone or right. Central time zone, right? Right. But I also, it's clearly a shot at USC and UCLA. And I think, again, that piece, those are two different situations. USC is a private school. Everybody knows football drives everything at SC, right? UCLA's situation is potentially fraught for the Bruins. And I think the by far the bigger surprise of the two schools. And it just, it's, I don't know how it's going to work for UCLA. I really don't, because they've got financial trouble. And then you're asking all this of the student athletes. It's going to be real interesting to see if that ever materializes.
Okay, the digital side of it, I'll let you go off this because I know you're busy. The business side of the Pac-12 today, he alluded to the digital companies. Where do you think that is headed?
Well, that's interesting, because that could be a negotiating ploy with ESPN and Fox, right? He could be saying, highly likely to have a deal with a digital company in our next meeting.
That was his quote, highly likely.
Highly likely. Yeah. But that could just be signaling ESPN and Fox, you better come to the table with something strong here within this 30-day window, or you're going to be taking a big risk at losing a piece of our inventory that you really want, right? I mean, it's important to remember the timeline for viewers. 30-day window where Fox and ESPN can negotiate exclusively with the Pac-12. That ends in early August. At that point, if there's no deal, the Pac-12 goes to the open market. And at that point, maybe Apple says, you know what, we'll pay you a gazillion dollars for this series of games. And it's a series of games that ESPN wanted to have but didn't make a good enough offer for initially. So it could be a negotiating ploy, but it also could be a sign of what's going to come.
Don't you think that would be the smart move, is to let it lapse and just go out in the open market?
It would, unless Fox or ESPN or a combination of the two make a killer offer, yeah, and you get this thing locked up right now. I mean, if they come close to what the conference would have gotten with SC and UCLA because they don't want to take that risk, then if you're the Pac-12, you sign on the dotted line and you're all set.
Wilner Hotline. You can find all of his content. Follow him on Twitter at Wilner Hotline. We carry it at sports360az.com. I could sit here and chop it up with you for hours, yeah, but you're
tons
busy.
Tons to talk about.
Get out.
Thanks for having me.
There's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout.